first 15 verses for us, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1 through 15. Wonder of it all, amen. It's interesting to reflect upon how many people in the world, and I do that from time to time, and think out of all those 6 billion plus, God saved me. It's just, it's a wonder. The wonder of it all. Matthew chapter 6, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and bless you. And Lord, do marvel. And Lord, just love the words of that hymn, the wonder of it all, that God loves me. Lord, it's just amazing. Lord, really not just able to put words to it. But we thank you and we praise you for the salvation which is in the Lord Jesus. We're thankful that in him we have life eternal. And Father, I pray as we would look into your word together now, you would quicken us and Lord, grant to us eyes to see, ears to hear what the Spirit would have for us this morning. May we, our hearts be open to hear from you, Lord. May we be willing to make any adjustments, Lord, if you should deal with us about something. And Lord, again, may your will be accomplished. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak this morning about prayer and a particular aspect of prayer. I wonder how many of us would say, no problems, my prayers are always answered. Just be able to put your hand up and say, Pastor, that's me. Every time I pray, always get an answer, just like that. Probably most of us would say, I've had some answers to prayer, and God does answer my prayer, and I know God answers prayer, but I don't think too many of us could say, listen, no problems, always my prayers are answered, just how I pray them even. I think then we would start to qualify a little bit even more if we put that part of it in there. You know, there are many reasons why prayers are not answered, and we're going to look at some of those this morning. And I have people complain from time to time when I'm talking to them about the Lord that they've prayed and God hasn't answered. They've maybe prayed for someone to be healed, or they've had some problem in their life and they've prayed and they've asked God to do something for them and nothing's happened. And so they get the attitude, well, there's probably no God if that's the case. And that's hardly a way to establish whether God's there or not by the fact whether he did or not answer their prayer. But There are those who do that. But I think for many of them, their problem is that they can't pray in the manner that the Lord Jesus encouraged us to pray in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray, our Father, which art in heaven. Many people pray and God doesn't answer their prayer because he is not their Father. They pray, oh God, help me. Oh God, do this. And oh God, if you're there, do that. But they can't pray, our Father, which art in heaven, because they're not part of the family of God. They've never been born again by the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus taught that in John chapter 3. Except a man be born again, he won't see the kingdom. There needs to be a spiritual birth, a supernatural, miraculous work of the Spirit of God in the heart and life of an individual as he applies the words of the gospel that Christ died for them, that they needed to repent of their sins and believe that Jesus died on the cross in their place, believe that the Lord Jesus rose from the grave physically and bodily, and commit their life into his hands, pleading and asking for his forgiveness, trusting and believing what the Bible says, if they would call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. You see, that's the first prayer that God really wants to hear. And I know that there are those who could say they prayed maybe as unsaved people and they felt that God had answered them. I understand God is gracious and God is very merciful. There's no question about that. But primarily the first prayer that anybody prays that God answers is, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, please forgive me. Please wash me in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please forgive my sin and make me a child of God. And so many prayers go unanswered because the individual praying is not in the family of God. I don't know where you're at this morning in your relationship with God, whether you know for sure that you'd die in it right now, you'd go to heaven, because there was a time and place in your life when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour. You maybe can't give the very minute or second of it, but you know for sure that you're saved and you're going to heaven when you die. And by the way, salvation is not just a ticket to heaven. I don't want to present it that way either. But the end result of being saved is you'll be in heaven one day with the Lord. And you shall see him and you shall be like him. But if you've never come to that place of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus, then let me encourage you to settle that matter this morning. The first prayer you need to pray is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Please save me. I believe the Lord Jesus died on the cross in my place. I believe he rose again. I know I've sinned. I know I'm guilty, but would you forgive me? And God says, if you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. And even this morning, you could have your first real answer to prayer in the salvation of your soul. But there are other reasons why prayers aren't answered. Sometimes it's because there's a spiritual battle. And we read about Brother Shemesh, and someone's been playing around with the internet and saying it was him and doing all that kind of thing. You know, behind that are principalities and powers who are trying to cause strife and trying to cause problems in his ministry and in his life. And so there's some spiritual battles that we're faced. And Daniel chapter 10 tells us that there was a time when Daniel prayed, and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed, and it took 3 weeks for the answer because there was a spiritual battle going on in the heavenlies which hindered the angel bringing God's answer to him. And so sometimes we don't get prayer because there's a spiritual battle. Don't get an answer, sorry. Sometimes it's because God has something better for us. You know, we've got to be careful that we're not like spoiled children. God, do this. God, do that. Hey, fix this, fix that, do something else. Sometimes God has something better, you know. He's all wise and all knowing. Sometimes God says no, and that is an answer to prayer, by the way, no. Again, we're a little bit like children sometimes. When my children come to me and they say, can we do this? My first response is no. Stephen only said yesterday, I think it was, how come you keep saying no? I said, well, because if I then say yes, I'll look a good fella. But if I start saying yes and then change to no, then I'm in trouble. But no is an answer. And sometimes God says no. No, you can't have that. I won't do that. I'm not at this time. I'm not in that way. Whatever it is, it may be a no. Sometimes it's because we give up. You know, the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And sometimes we just get weary, we just get tired, and we give up. Oh, well, I've prayed a couple of times. Nothing's happened. We'll move on to the next prayer. And the same thing will happen. We pray for a bit there, nothing happened, we move on to the next one, and we just keep going on and on and on. And then in the end, we don't even think God answers prayer anymore because we just haven't kept on a little. In Luke chapter 11 and 1 through 13 there, the Lord Jesus taught about importunity or being persistent in prayer. Some things we just have to keep asking and keep asking and keep asking. You say, how long do you keep asking until you get the answer? That's how long. You say, how long will that take? I don't know. But sometimes it's because we don't keep on. But I want to look at some other reasons this morning, a little more detail. First of all, in this passage which I read this morning, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14, the Lord Jesus said this, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." I believe we could summarize it by saying this. If we have unforgiveness in our heart, God will not answer our prayers. It's just that simple. If there's unforgiveness in our hearts, if there's someone in our life that we haven't forgiven, then God will not hear our prayers. He says, "I will not forgive you. If you don't forgive others, I will not forgive you." In other words, I will not answer your prayers. And sometimes when we pray and we pray and we pray and we're not getting an answer, it's because there's an unforgiving spirit which we have. I'm not talking about some devil in us. I'm talking about our attitude. There's a spirit of unforgiveness, and God is not answering our prayer. He's waiting for us to deal with that issue. He's waiting for us to resolve this matter of unforgiveness. Because what happens with unforgiveness? Unforgiveness leads to what? It leads to bitterness. And the book of Hebrews warns about it. Lest the root of bitterness springing up and thereby many be defiled. And we need to be careful that we are forgiving. You say, how many times do you forgive? Same question Peter asked. The Lord Jesus said 70 times 7. Just keep forgiving. But these people keep letting me down. Keep forgiving them if they repent. And if they don't repent, still have a forgiving spirit toward them. Don't let your prayers be hindered by an unforgiving spirit. If there's anybody who has got someone in their life they have not properly forgiven, then let me tell you, your prayers will be hindered. It is just that simple. And if you're in that situation, if God deals with you about that this morning, then you need to go to that person, resolve the situation, and then you can pray confidently that God will answer your prayers. Maybe it's someone in the past. Someone's hurt you in the past, and you just feel you can't forgive them. Let me tell you, you're going to need to if you want God to answer your prayers. If there's someone in the past who's injured you, they've done you wrong, and you're still carrying that, you're still kind of burned about it, you're still a bit upset about it, you're still bitter about it, you will not have your prayers answered, you will not have a fruitful prayer life until you deal with that issue, until you go to that person, either ring them, go to them, write to them, whatever you've got to do, but deal with it. Let me encourage you, if you're in that situation, the reason why you may be struggling in the place of prayer is because of an unforgiving spirit, and God will not hear you. In Matthew chapter 5, just right next to where we are, in verse 23. And this is a little like what I've just spoken about already, unforgiveness. But in Matthew 5, verse 23, the Lord Jesus says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath ought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first." Let me emphasize that. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. It's a little like this. We come to pray, and we have difficulty praying. We just don't seem to be able to pray. It may be that God's saying, listen, there is someone you have offended, and you need to deal with that before I'm going to answer your prayers. You say, how do you deal with that situation? Well, what did the Lord say? First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. And so if we're having trouble with our prayer life and we don't seem to be getting prayers answered, maybe it is that we've offended someone and we haven't dealt with it. Now, I understand if we've offended someone and we're not aware of it, we can't do much about that. But if we've offended someone, we've upset them in some way, maybe it's what we've said, maybe it's something we've done to them or haven't done for them, whatever it is, then there is a problem there. There is something that this person has against me, and I need to go to them and deal with that. until that happens, our prayer life is going to be very, very poverty stricken. Problems in relationships need to be dealt with. It could be any manner of things. I want to read an example of something that I just read this morning in a little booklet by John R. Rice, and he gives this illustration dealing with problems in relationships and how it can hinder prayer. He says, from a small town in Texas, and this is going back a few years now, a storekeeper who heard my radio broadcast in Dallas wrote to me about as follows. Dear Brother Rice, the other day a man came into my store and handed me $25 to pay a debt that was 10 years old. I'd given up all hope of ever collecting the debt. I had tried again and again, and the debtor would make no effort to pay. When he came in to pay the debt, I told him frankly, "Well, that's $25 I never expected to see." And he answered back, "Yes, it's $25 I never intended to pay." He says, "But I've been hearing Brother John R. Rice on the radio. He showed me from the Bible that if I ever expected God to hear my prayers for the salvation of my children, to hear my call for daily help, I must make things right and be reconciled to those I had wronged. So I resolved to pay this debt. I must make it so God will hear my prayers and save my children." The storekeeper then wrote me that he felt the money ought to go to God's cause, since long ago he'd marked it off his books as a loss. He said, "I've given $5 to a Methodist pastor here who I know preaches honestly that Christians must get right with others if they expect God to hear their prayers. I'm sending you $10, and I'll give the other $10 to the next preacher I hear who preaches that you must pay your honest debts if you expect God to hear your prayers." You see, if we go to pray and it's brought to our mind that someone has ought against us, we need to go to them and be reconciled. Deal with it. Get that sorted out. And then come back and God will answer our prayers. In 1 Peter chapter 3, and this is a little even closer to the bone in a sense of relationships and hindrances that can come. In 1 Peter chapter 3, and God's word gets even closer than just as we've spoken in a sense in a general way. In 1 Peter chapter 3, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." 1 Peter 3, 1, verse 2, "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. There's adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." What are we talking about this morning? Hindrance to prayer. In the husband-wife relationship, there can be a hindrance in our prayer life. Now, young people not married, you can just tune in. And just mark it down in your little back book for the day when you do get married. But for those of us who are married, then we need to seriously consider sometimes, is our prayer life being hindered because of our relationship with husband or wife? If the wife is not in subjection to her husband, if she's not in obedience, as Sarah was to Abraham, then that will hinder her prayer life. If the husband is not honouring his wife as under the weaker vessel and considering her according to knowledge, then his prayers will be hindered. It's just that simple. So we go from forgiving in a general sense, problems in relationships, down to the husband-wife relationship, where God says right there, if wives are not what they ought to be, that'll hinder their prayer life, and vice versa, if husbands are not what they ought to be, that will hinder their prayer life. Isaiah chapter 59, let's turn there. Isaiah chapter 59. verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. In other words, it seems like the children of Israel have been complaining, God's not answering prayer. And Isaiah says, well, God's ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. He said, but there is a problem. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. In other words, if we have unconfessed sin in our life, God will not answer our prayers. Just that simple. He said, your iniquities have come between you and God. Your sins have become between you and God, and as a result, God will not hear you. In other words, he will not answer your prayers. And so you and I, if we're struggling in the area of prayer, and it doesn't seem that God's hearing us, doesn't seem that God's answering our prayers the way we would like at least, then maybe we need to get before the Lord and say, as David did, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. To see if there's any unconfessed sin. Psalm writer says in Psalm 66 verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So I want to encourage us this morning. You're having trouble in your prayer life. Is there some sin you haven't dealt with? Now we've touched on a couple of those, unforgiveness, other problems in relationships, but God will not hear. In James chapter 4, book of James, back in the New Testament, James chapter 4, see, these things are very searching, really, aren't they? You know, we can say very glibly, well, you know, God's really not answering my prayers, and then just move on. But why isn't he answering them? What's the problem? Is there a problem? Why isn't God answering? Maybe he's saying, well, just wait for the moment. That's true. Maybe he's saying, just hold on. But what is the answer? You know, the only reason you know you've prayed is when you get the answer, isn't it? That's the test of whether you've really prayed. You can send up 1,000 prayers a day, but if there's no answers, then what have you done? Really, just a useless exercise. It's when we get the answer. And there can be some reasons, as we've said, why we don't get answers. Here's one of them here in James chapter 4. In verse 1 he says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. There's one problem. This is not a hindrance to prayer because you haven't prayed yet, but that's one reason why people don't get things. They don't even ask God in the first place. But notice what he says in verse 3. Ye ask and receive not. Why is that? Because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. In other words, the prayer is primarily for my sake and my sake alone. Example, a lady may be praying for her husband to be saved, but why does she want him saved? Oh, so we can have a much better marriage. Well, that's okay. That's nothing wrong with that. But is that all? You see, it could be just a selfish prayer. Oh, I just pray for my children that they'll live for God. Why? So that it'll make you look better? Why do you want them to live for God? Well, I think it'd be right if they do. Yeah, that's true. And they need to live for God. That's true. But why are we praying that? Is it just for some selfish reason? Some reason that we can consume it upon our lusts? Is it just for our own benefit when we pray these prayers? Because God says clearly, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. And so we need to be careful that we're not praying selfish prayers, those that we just want, I want it for me. We maybe say for God, but really it's for me. So that I'll feel better, so that I'll look better, and all those kind of things. But really our prayers ought to be that God be glorified and that God's will be accomplished. Not what even God permits, but God's perfect will. Lord, my prayer is thus and such. You think of Brother Brendan Davies. All right, now he's faced with this, what seems at this point, fatal disease. Now how are you going to pray for it? What sort of praying are you going to do for it? Oh, Lord, please heal him. Well, that's okay. What if God doesn't want to heal him? Then what are you going to do? Why do you want him healed? I'm saying this, not Brother Brendan doesn't know. I'm not doing it in this way. It's no reflection on Brother Brendan Davis. I'm just using his name. But why do we want him healed? Now, if it was his wife, it may be, and I'm not saying this is the case, but it may be, because I want to have my husband with me. I like him here. Is that all? Well, he's my dad. I want him to be around. That's okay, but is that all? In other words, are we praying, Lord, as the Lord Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, Father, if it be possible for this cup to pass from me, nevertheless, not my will but thy will be done. Lord, that you would be glorified, that your perfect will be done. Lord, if it was your perfect will for Brother Brendan to go to be with you in glory in the next 6 months, then Lord, let it be so. For even so, it seemed good in thy sight to do it that way. So sometimes our praying can be selfish, and we're all guilty of it from time to time. We're praying certain prayers and we're not getting answers, but it's because we've got our own self-interest in it. We've got our own little desires and our own little projects going there, can we say. We ought to be praying, and it's not wrong to pray that God would heal someone. I believe we ought to do that. But we ought to have undergirding that God might be glorified and that his perfect will be done. Then there's one other one we'll look at this morning in Ezekiel. And this is not exhaustive, this list we've looked at, but just some thoughts for us to ponder about our own prayer life if we're having troubles. Ezekiel chapter 14. And if you're not having trouble in your prayer life, bless God, you will sooner or later. So, Ezekiel chapter 14. Verse 1 says, Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? It's like God saying, Do they really think that I'm going to answer their prayers? They've got idols in their heart. They have set up their idols in their hearts. And now they're going to come and pray and ask me for something. Well, God says, forget it. Forget it. They put idols in their heart. You say, what's an idol? We don't have idols today. Oh, we have plenty of them. We have plenty of them. We maybe don't have Buddhas. I'm reading this book I shared in our class this morning. I'm reading this book at the moment, and part of the chapter is about Buddhism. One of the chapters about Buddhism and the various factions in Buddhism. And I learnt that in India, in one of the poorest places of India, is the hub of Buddhism, apparently. And they have there a 20-metre statue of Buddha. 20-metre statue of Buddha there. In all this poverty, it's one of the poorest places. This huge statue. But that's not all. They are looking to build. They're trying to promote another Buddha that they're going to build. And it's going to be 150 metres high. You know, I thought Nebuchadnezzar had a big image there, that golden image. This is going to be 150 metres. And it's going to cost, in the order, I think, if I remember correctly, something like $93 million. It's going to be a certain bronze alloy or whatever it's going to be. An idol. Now, we maybe don't have Buddhas like that. We maybe don't even have 20-metre Buddhas. But if we're not careful, we'll have idols. John finished 1 John by saying, My little children, keep yourselves from idols. You say, what are idols? Well, let's look at it from a slightly different perspective. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible calls covetousness, which is idolatry. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5, he says that man who is covetous is an idolater. In other words, whatever we have in our focus right now, which looms greater in our life than God, that's an idol. Whatever it is, whatever that is an idol. And if we have an idol, what did God say to the children of Israel back then? They've got idols in their heart. You see, the idol doesn't have to be some visible stone. It could be an idol in my heart that maybe nobody else really knows much about it, but there's an idol there. It may be, sometimes, you know, men make idols of their wives. Sometimes wives, I think, make idols of their husbands. Sometimes mothers, their children are idols. They just hold on to them. Very important, and children are very important. But if they're not careful, they can become idols. They're the Lord's, remember, first of all. The Lord's well able to take care of them. You know the story of Rosalind Goforth and Jonathan Goforth, who were in China, and God was moving them on. And Rosalind Goforth, didn't want to go. She said, if I go up there in Manchuria, there's all those diseases and all those wicked things up there. Children could get it. They could die. I'm not going to go. Her husband said, well, I believe that's what God wants us to do. And then she resisted and resisted, and one of their children died. She continued to resist, and another child died. She said, I think we better go. I think we better go. What had happened? I believe she'd had an idol. She acknowledged those children were an idol in her life. They were more important than doing the will of God that was clearly being given to them. That's an idol. That's an idol. And when we do that, we have idols, and God says, I won't hear. I won't hear. So covetous, that sort of thing which we want. I want it. It might be, you know, I don't know what it is, but whatever that is, that thing that takes up and consumes us, and we just want it, and it's there nestled down in our heart, and it's very, very, maybe private, but it's an idol nevertheless. God says, I won't hear your prayers until you deal with that. Is God absolutely first in our life? That's the question when it comes to idols. Is there anything in my life that is more important to me than God? Anything at all, whatever it might be, then that is an idol if there's something there. And God says you need to deal with that, you need to renounce it, you need to forsake it, and then I can answer your prayers. And so there's a number of things. There's unforgiveness, there's problems in relationships, there's husband-wife roles, and if they're not performed as God has ordained them, there's sin that can hinder. There's selfish prayers, there's idols, and we could go on and on and on, I guess, a whole lot of things. But sufficient for this morning is what we've spoken about. Let me ask you in closing, how's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Is God answering your prayers at the moment? It may be that you need to pray this prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You maybe need, first of all, to get saved so you can pray, Father in heaven. If you're not saved, let me encourage you to pray that prayer. We call it a sinner's prayer, and the words in one sense are not that important. It's what's happening in the person's heart. You see, until someone gets saved, then they are their own idol. And they need to renounce that and say, God, I'm not worthy of heaven. I'm not worthy of any relationship with you, but I believe that Jesus died on a cross in my place and was buried and rose again the third day, and I want to trust him. Trust you for forgiveness and salvation. That's a good prayer to pray if you're not saved this morning. But maybe you are saved and you are struggling in some area of your prayer life. Could it be that something we've spoken about this morning, God has said, you need to deal with that. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's a relationship problem. Maybe it's husband-wife. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's a selfish prayer. You didn't even realize, perhaps, that it was a selfish prayer. But God says, that's why you're not getting your answer. That's a selfish prayer. It may be an idol. And God has touched something in your life and said, that is an idol. Give it up. And then I can answer your prayers. Let's pray now. Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We're thankful for the Word of God. And Lord, as always, the Word of God is very much a mirror. As we look into it, Lord, we see ourselves as we truly are. And Lord, prayer is it just a blessing, Lord, when we get in the answers? No question about that. But Lord, sometimes the answers don't come, and we can give up and be casual and just forget it, or we can be serious and say, why not? And Lord, we've looked at some reasons why sometimes our prayers aren't answered. Sometimes it's unforgiveness. Sometimes it's a relationship problem. Lord, it could be sin, it could be an idol, it could be selfish praying, whatever it is. It's a hindrance, and you're not answering very clear in those things in your word. Father, I don't know the hearts of everybody here this morning, but Lord, if there's anybody here this morning who's not saved, they came here this morning, they couldn't have up until now given a clear testimony. There was a time in their life when they trusted the Lord Jesus, their own personal Saviour. Father, if there's anybody like that, they can't say, "My Father in heaven." And Lord, I pray that right now you would have mercy on them, deal with them. May the Spirit of God convict and convince them and show them that, yes, they are a sinner. They need to pray, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me." And Father, there's someone like that, I pray you'll deal with them. And then, Lord, for God's people, if you've spoken to anybody about anything in particular, Lord, that they might respond, they might not just be a hearer, but a doer of your word this morning, so that their prayer lives might not be hindered. Just while our eyes are closed and heads bowed, I just ask you this morning, have you ever prayed a sinner's prayer? In other words, do you know for sure that you are saved? Whether you prayed a prayer or not, not that important, but do you know for sure that Christ is your Saviour and you have no doubt whatsoever if you were to die now, you'd go to heaven and be with the Lord? If you've got some doubts even, then let me encourage you. Maybe you need to pray, "God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. Please save me this morning." Now, I'd like to pray for you if that's you, and the only way I can pray is if you'll give some indication to me. So if that's you this morning, you need to be saved, or you want to be, and in fact you maybe even now made that commitment in your heart and life to God, I'd like to pray for you. Now, to help me to pray for you, just slip your hand up and say, "Pastor, pray for me. This morning I've prayed a sinner's prayer, call it what you will, but I'm trusting Christ as my Saviour. Could you pray for me?" Anybody at all, you slip your hand up, just hold it there for a moment, take it down again. I'm not going to call you out, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to say anything, but you say, "This morning I want to get into the family of God so that I can know my prayers will be answered, because I'll be able to cry, Father in heaven." Then maybe God's maybe spoken to you about something this morning and you need to deal with that. You know this is clearly God speaking to you. There's an issue as to why your prayers are being hindered. If there's anybody like that, let me encourage you to deal with it. I'd like to pray for you. Just slip your hand up. Say, "God's spoken to me. Pastor, pray for me. I've got something I need to deal with. My prayers are being hindered, and God's shown me this morning what that is, and I'm going to deal with it by the grace of God." Anybody at all, "Pastor, pray for me. God's spoken to me about something. I need to deal with it, whether it's an idol, whether it's unforgiveness, or whatever it is, but you need to deal with something so that your prayers be not hindered." Anybody at all, and then we'll close. Heavenly Father, we're thankful and praise you, Lord, for this time, and Lord, may it be that we might each enjoy a fruitful and blessed prayer life, or that we might ask and receive, even as your word says. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.